Blog Talk Radio.
Calling his wife by another name.
or a wife calling her husband by another name. And we want to sort of dive into this thing this morning for the simple reason that I tossed and turned all last night, and I was waiting for a word from the Most High, and I wasn't receiving anything. And I was like, you know, what would you have me to speak to your people about? Because I don't want to just come on my own. And so nothing was coming. I got up. And, you know, the Most High says he'll give you what to say in the last hour. And so this is where we are at this morning, this topic. I want to walk through this, walk us through it, so that we can understand that he said his prophets caused the people to not call him by his name. And we don't want to be, it's in the scriptures, it's a very negative thing coming from the Most High when we don't call him by his name. You know, whatever name each individual is convinced of, I'm going to say that's what you use until Yah shows you better or says, you know, that's it for you. The truth of the matter is, I typically don't play the name game, okay? But this is so heavy on me this morning, and my insides are so jittery concerning this thing, I cannot do it, so I have to do it. So we're going to do our normal. We are going to, ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your heads. And let us turn toward the east as we go before the Most High and we do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning, because he is good word. Hallelujah. Kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. We are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us, and that you have scattered us throughout all the nations of the world, Father, and we won't complain about it. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them, give them and unction them to come and keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us the meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. As Solomon dedicated the temple, the Most High sent us a message down through the times. First Kings chapter 8, verse starting in verse 46. If they Israel sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they will carry captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, our topic for today, this precept. Probably 7 or 8 years ago, the Most High spoke to me concerning the word Lord in the Bible. And at the time, the KJV Bible that I had, in the preface of it, I was reading the preface because it was saying, you know, how to read the Bible. And then it also gave some of the conventions of the different words. And when it came down to the name or the tetragrammaton, YHWH, or the initials of the Most High's name, they said that they translated it to Lord, L, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or capital L, lowercase O, R, D. And they did this because they were told that the name of the Most High was too sacred to pronounce. And so as I was dealing with this subject, the fact that the word Lord in the Hebrew is Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal. This is the name of a Canaanite god. And I was like, wow, why would they choose to use this word Lord? But in the Hebrew, that word actually stands for, it is the name of a Canaanite god. And so I was, you know, I was kind of miffed. And Most High sent me to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. We're going to get there. But first, I want us to do read a couple of scriptures. And I want us to look up this word, Baal, so that we have some understanding concerning this thing. Because as he showed me this, it was like, this is akin to your husband or your wife, your spouse, calling you by somebody else's name. So you are in the heat of, I say, lovemaking. And they call you somebody else's name. This is, you know, like I said, I typically try to stay away from this. But as I got up this morning, I said, you know, I was waiting on the Most High to give me a word. He usually gives me one. He gave me this at the last minute to go over this because this is actually wickedness. Okay. It's wickedness. All right. Let's do raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Brother Miles, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to say really quick, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say all praises to the Most High Yah, because this past week I've been dealing with the name of the Father. I've been dealing with the Yah thing, the Jesus, the Lord, and someone else told me that I was calling on Baal, and that was not it. Stop saying Lord, stop saying God. You really need to get your Hebrew concordance, you know, and really start digging. And they said, ask the Father to reveal his true name to you, sis. You've got to study what you're reading. They have transfigured, they have changed everything in the Bible. They retranslated everything. And I just want to say all praise to the Most High, because I was praying to God about it even yesterday. And the Father is answering me through you. So I really appreciate you taking your time to wait on the Father to give you a word. And I just want to say that's from the Father, from the throne. And I thank him. I thank him for answering my prayers. I just wanted to tell you that.
All right, amen. To Yah be the glory. To Yah be the glory. Amen. All right. So let us proceed here. As I was saying, this name, the name of the Most High, he has always told us to call on his name. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. His name is in the scriptures over 7,000 times. In Torah alone, Torah and the prophets alone, 7,000 times. He must have wanted us to call him by his name, or else he wouldn't have put it there 7,000 times. Nevertheless, you know, the enemy is busy, and the Most High says, you shall find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And so here we are today on this topic. As I said, I typically stay away from the name game, but this is critical to the Most High himself. And as I said, he even has, like, my inside shaking. If I don't do this, I know if I don't do this, I'm going to be in trouble. This is the word he has given me at a last moment. I want to start with the word beguile, okay? Beguile, because we are told in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan beguiled Eve. He seduced her, he tricked her, okay? The word beguile is a verb to trick or to deceive someone, to attract or interest someone, to be beguiled or to be beguiling when you're in the act of doing. Full definition, it's a verb to lead by deception, to hoodwink someone, to while away especially by some agreeable occupation, to engage the interest of, by, or as if by God, to deceive them. Let us go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Because we have to understand what's the motivation behind most of these things. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So everything that is of the world and why the world does things is for these three reasons. To fulfill the lust of the flesh, to fulfill the lust of your eyes, what you see, what you want, what looks good to you, what doesn't look good to you, the pride of life. You know, what we think about ourselves, what we want to accomplish, what we want to do. If these things take you off of the Most High, they are not of the Father, because they are of the world. This, we discussed this the other night, this is exactly what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden when she took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, because this is foundational. Because we have to understand that we have been deceived. We have been hoodwinked. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eye, the lust of the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat with her, and he did eat. Now, as we discussed on the other night, this is an overview of what happened, okay? There was some time that was between her eating and giving it to her husband, because we're not told of a conversation here, but we're told that he listened to the voice of his wife. So there was a conversation that we were not privy to in the scriptures. We just know that she convinced him to eat it. And it said that he wasn't deceived. Scripture says he was not deceived. So, but in Eve at that time were all the things that were of the world. She wanted to be wise. Pride of life. She had been deceived by the wicked one, Satan, into thinking that she needed these things. Satan uses deception to trick people into worshiping anything other than the Most High, whether it's ourselves, whether it's the works of our hands, whether it's other deities. He just wants us to fall, because he is fallen. He was created for that purpose. And so we have to understand that when man does something, even in relationship to the word, the enemy can come in. And the Most High can protect his own word. And he has protected it, but we have to search him out with our whole heart in order to find him. That's why he tells us over and over and over again, you shall find me when you seek me with your whole heart. The little things about, you know, the scripture should be important to us. Anything about the Most High should be important. And anyone that is worshiping him should really want to know, should ask him, what is your name? Lord, in the English, we're going to go from the English, is not a name. It's a title. But in the Hebrew, it's actually a name. So when I read that and learned that some years ago, the most time it had me to go do some more digging. I said, why would the translators of the Bible, they're translating from Hebrew or Greek, why would they knowingly use this title in the English, knowing that it was in the Hebrew, it's actually the name of a deity and not the name of the Most High? Let's go to the book of just go to the book of Genesis chapter 13. Drop down to verse 13. And Yah Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. He seduced me. He tricked me. He fooled me. He told me he was going to make me wise. He told me he was going to make me a god like you. But Adam and Eve were already the gods of this earth. The Most High had already given them dominion over everything in this earth. So the devil sort of, he used what was in her and deceived her because she wanted to be wise. And so she eats this fruit, she eats these lies because she desires to be wise. Okay? So she has been deceived. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 1. We're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to be in this for a minute because this is like a letter from the Most High to us. And he's having Jeremiah to spell out what was done. And if we will but hear the prophet, then we can understand that the prophets of old, the false prophets, taught us not to say his name. Jeremiah chapter 23, starting in verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yah. Therefore, thus saith God Elohim of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now, we are driven out of Israel, our people. Our forefathers were driven out. We're scattered to all the nations of the world. And the Most High said he would gather us again. But he says we are scattered because of what the pastors, the prophets did. Now, we're going to read what they did, because what they did actually got us scattered because they caused us to worship other gods. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be in dismay, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yah. Behold, the day is coming, saith Yah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, Yah, our righteousness. Now, your Bible might say, the Lord, our righteousness. And everywhere where I'm saying Yah, your Bible will say Lord, okay, in the English. But understand, you know how I read. I have already put the name there that I'm convinced of. Nevertheless, therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yah, that they shall no more say, Yah liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yah liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, most I say the day is coming that, you know, we celebrate Passover, because the Most High brought us out of Egypt. That's what he tells us. That's what Passover is all about, that he brought us out of Egypt. And then we also celebrate Messiah in the Passover, or the Feast of the First Fruits, the heave offering, because he became our Passover. But he says the day is going to come when, rather than celebrating the Passover because he brought us out of Egypt, we're going to celebrate the Passover because he's going to bring us out of all the nations of the earth back into our own land. And so there's some prophecies here that we're waiting on. When the nation of Israel was reestablished by the Zionists, and they were first going to go to Ghana and reestablish the nation of Israel, because that's where we left from when we were taken off the continent. They really thought that, you know, the original homeland of Israel was in Ghana, present-day Ghana today. Then they ended up back where we were at. But the truth of the matter is, we are still scattered amongst the nations, and they do not want us back there. And we don't want to go back until Messiah calls us back, okay, until he gathers us. So we're going to celebrate, rather than celebrating the Passover, him bringing us out of Egypt originally, we will celebrate him delivering us from all, being scattered in all the nations of the earth. Verse 9, my heart within me is broken because of the prophet. Now, I want us to hear what the Most High is saying here, because the prophet is talking for the Most High. My heart within me is broken because of the prophet. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of Yah and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. Now, we've been dealing with this topic of adultery amongst our people for some time, and this is the root of all our problems, spiritual adultery manifesting itself as physical adultery. Our forefathers committed adultery on the Most High by having a change of heart toward the Most High, really, but they worshiped, fornicated with other gods. And so we're going to read this, because he's saying his heart is broken. Okay? My heart within me is, verse 9 again, my heart within me is broken because of the prophet. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. I am like a man whom wine has overcome because Yah and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. And their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Yah. Now, we read, I gave you guys the precept for this a few weeks back concerning Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. And the Most High, you know, grabs Ezekiel by the hair, lifts him up. He's mad. And he says, come, let me show you what they do. Look at them. Look at them worshiping abomination and creeping things and men and the sun in my temple. They are worshiping other gods in my temple, in my sanctuary. They are fornicating with other gods in my sanctuary. And some of them have committed adultery and had a change of heart toward me, like I have done something to them that they should have a change of heart. So we find ourselves here. He's saying the same thing, okay? His heart is broken because of what the prophets have caused the people to do. Check. Verse 11. For the prophet, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found no wickedness, saith Yah. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Yah. See, folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal. Now, why they chose to leave this word Baal in the English as Baal and everywhere else translated over and then translate it, use it for the name of the Most High and cause my people Israel to err. So I could rationally read this and say, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in the name of the Lord and cause my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in line. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and as the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. It's really what the Most High is saying. You know what? You don't exist to me anymore. There can't nobody name anybody that comes from Sodom or Gomorrah. You don't know nobody saying, hey, yeah, I'm from Sodom. I'm from Gomorrah. There's nobody today that would even claim that lineage. And the Most High says, you are as Sodom and Gomorrah to me. I destroyed them. Therefore, thus saith Yah post concerning the prophet. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profane and gone forth into all the land. So this is something that the prophets did to the people of the Most High. It's not just the northern kingdom, because Judah did worse. The southern kingdom did worse. Thus saith Yahweh, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, for they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yah. As I have said before, the job of a prophet is to speak for the Most High. Speak on behalf of the Most High. The prophet, the Most High is speaking through that man. That's what makes him a prophet. That's why he said, if a prophet says something that does not come true, you shall disregard him. I haven't called him. He's doing this on his own. Because if he's truly a prophet, whatever comes out of his mouth will come to pass. Exactly as he says, because it will be the Most High speaking through him. And the Most High says, my word, even if it's spoken through you, a man, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall go out to accomplish whatever I sent it to do. So even if he's speaking through a man, the prophet, his word has to come true. He says, don't listen to them. Why? Because they're speaking of their own, not the word that came out of the Most High. These are men who claim to be prophets, but they are not. They say still unto them that despise me, Yah has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of Yah and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? The question. Behold, a whirlwind of Yah has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievous upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yah shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. We are in the latter days. We should be able to see what the Most High is talking about. We have the book. We have the wisdom of the Ruach HaKodesh to tell us there's some wickedness that went on here. There are some things that these men did that we need to undo. that we need to correct. We can't continue to do the same things that they did that caused us to be scattered among the nations. First thing he said is, "Woe unto my pastors who scatter the flock." We are in this condition because of what they taught us and what our forefathers taught, what the prophets taught our forefathers and what they believed and what they walked in. When the Most High gave the instruction to call on his name, he said, "You are prophesying in the name of Baal and not my name. You are doing things in the name of this deity and not my name." Now, why is this critical to us? Because if we don't take the time to search out the name of the Most, then we could be calling on another deity and not even be aware of it, because we just want to take for granted what we're reading is the absolute truth when we have a translation. But even within the translation, he's telling us there's some wickedness that went on. The prophets and the priests became profane, and they caused you to worship, telling you you're worshiping me in the name of another deity. Let's continue. Verse 21. "I have not sent these prophets, yet they reign." You hear me say it all the time. Some were sent, some just went. We got a lot of men out there who call themselves teachers, call themselves pastors, call themselves shepherds, who weren't sent. They just went. They desired this thing, but they never went to the Most High and actually said, "Fill me with your Ruach." They just declared that they were filled with his Ruach. That's a different thing. If you just say, "I'm filled with the Ruach of the Most High," but he hasn't done it for you yet, because you see what the scriptures say. You know that, hey, this is a requirement, but you never allowed him, never submitted yourself to him that he would fill you with his Ruach. They ran, but they weren't sent. He said, "I didn't send these prophets." They just ran. They just went. "And I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing." This is what the prophets were supposed to do, speak the words of the Most High to the people. When the Most High is correcting the people, don't you say otherwise. But if you are not truly a prophet of the Most High, if Yah is not in that prophet, if the spirit of Yah is not in that prophet, he can't talk for the Most High. He's going to talk of his own accord and what he thinks and what he desires. That's why today you don't hear them saying to fear Yah. They're talking on their own accord when Yah is saying, "You don't fear me. That's why you keep walking in sin. Because if you truly feared me, you wouldn't walk in sin. You would know what's coming. And you would not walk in sin." So, oh, the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to heal all your diseases, even if you ain't keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments. Even if you're not keeping his Sabbath. Even if you're not doing what he said to do. We know this is a lie. He doesn't operate that way. And so a lot of these pastors out here, so-called prophets, will say, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Yah, thus saith," whatever name they use. They just ran because they are preaching contrary to the word of Yah. And they are false prophets. Even to have us call on the name of another deity, call our Elohim, our, in the English, God, by another name. Put his name in here over 7,000 times and said, call me by it. And somehow, we've been taught to do otherwise. Verse 23. Am I a Elohim at hand, saith Yah, and not an Elohim afar off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him? Saith Yah, do not I feel heaven and earth? Where are you gonna go where you can hide from him? He says, I feel heaven and earth. If you go there into hell, I'm there. I'll see you. If you go into heaven, I'll see you. If you're on the earth, I'll see you. You cannot hide anything from me. I have heard what the prophet said, and the prophecy that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets and of deceit of their own heart. Of their own heart, I'm telling you, a prophet, a true prophet, speaks the word of the Most High. He hears what the Most High, he speaks what he hears the Most High say to him. Tell them this, son of man. Say this. And if a prophet say, thus saith Yah, thus saith the Lord, we want to get away from that. And it don't come to pass. He says, you shall not fear that prophet, because he's speaking of his own heart. See, when the Most High selects us, when he fills us with his spirit and he gifts us, Messiah told us, it was not him that did the work, but the Father that did the work, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Elohim. He's going to also do the work through you and I. We cannot come of our own accord. We cannot come of our own understanding. We cannot say those things, say things, unless he has shown us and told us to say them. I think, the Most High didn't ask you what you thought. He never asked for our opinion. He always gives us his opinion. He leads us by his thoughts. And when we start going, I, then we have gotten the spirit of the deceiver, the wicked one, Satan. We have gotten the spirit of Lucifer, the praise angel, when his glory overtook him and made him want to ascend on high and be like the Most High. Because he forgot that he was created by the Most High and that his glory that he had reflected the very glory of the Most High. So when he showed up and all the angels start praising, somehow he got to be in his mind that they were praising him and not the Most High, when he was created to be the praise angel and to lead the praise. His pride got over him. And I will ascend, and I will do this, and I will do that of his own heart. And this is the same thing the prophets have done. Rather than seeking the Most High and find out what he desired, they started not only speaking their own hearts, but they started worshiping other Elohim, other gods, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. As their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, my name for the Lord. See, when we, even as a title, the Most High, everywhere where they put capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, his name was there. And they have caused his people to call him by the name of the Lord. Lord as a name. And people believe that's his name. And it is not his name. So the prophets did this. And they called on the name of Baal. And they called on the name of other deities. And then told the people that you're worshiping the Most High Elohim. That is spiritual adultery. You caused my people to follow you. Let's put it this way. Some man caused my woman to follow another man. Caused my woman to actually speak after this man. And I was being true to her. But she got deceived. Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're going to get verses 5 and 6. Because we were told from the very beginning what not to do. Even in the Ten Commandments or the Ten Instructions. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Do you love the Most High enough to even find out what his name is? You ask him. Don't take my word for it. I always tell you, you check with the Most High. You ask him. He will reveal it to you. You just have to want to know it. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 23, verse 13. In all things that I have said unto you, to be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, other Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. I don't want you talking about another man. I'm going to put it, you know, where we can get it. Because as I said, the Ten Commandments is really a marriage contract. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not worship any other God. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not have any image of any other God. You shall not take my name in vain in marriage and desecrate, treat it as nothing. Don't take my name like a man, like a woman takes a man's name when she marries him. Don't take my name in vain. Don't call me by any name of any other God. Don't even let his name, their name, be in your mouth. Can we hear what the Most High is saying? That's why we have to take this thing seriously. You have to look into it. Everything, understanding that, and the reason why I say this and the reason why I believe he has me teaching this is because we are reading a translation. And because we are reading a translation, we may feel like, oh, this thing is translated word for word, and it is not. It is not translated word for word because they've already told us that they replaced his name with Lord or Baal. So it's not a word-for-word translation. Oh, the word, the name of the Most High is too holy for you to call on, for you to speak. That is not what he said. He said, call on my name. So he wants us to, and not only that, gave it to us 7,000 times, over 7,000 times. So they replaced it. And like I said, if they have replaced it with a name that wasn't the name of another deity in our language, I might have said, okay, you know, they thought it was too holy and they replaced it with this because they thought it was too holy. But to replace this name with the name of another deity, that is wickedness. That is deception. And if we don't study to show ourselves approved, if we don't dig into it, if we don't desire to know his name, then we will stay in that deception and thinking that, you know what, all is good. But it's not. So, you know, I simply ask him, I want to know your name. I want to know your name. I know what it says in this book. But I know that this book, this is not your name. From word study, this is not your name. The letter J wasn't even, there is no letter J sound in Hebrew or even Greek. So how can this be your actual name? That was my prayer. I want to know your name. I want to know who it is that I'm worshiping. I want to call you by your name as you have instructed me to in your scriptures, to call upon your name. When we say Father, Father is not a name. When we say Son, Son is not a name. When we say Holy Spirit or Ruach HaKodesh, those are not names. Even in the baptism, we just baptize in the name of. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Well, who's running around baptizing in three separate names? And if they are, I want to know where they get those three separate names from. In the name of, call on my name. But you have been instructed to call on the name of other gods. I told you don't even let the name of those other gods be in your mouth. So before we call on anybody, I mean, if we be truthful, and I know we all were born into this thing, and we were, you know, most of us probably raised in a Christian church, and this is what we were taught. This is what we know. But then when you start reading the word for yourself, and the Most High says, don't call me by the name of any other god. Don't even let it be in your mouth. Don't even say the names of other gods. Don't let them be in your mouth. You have to say, well, how do I do that? And what name do I call on? Exodus chapter 23. Let's read it again, verse 13. Exodus 23 and 13. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other gods, other Elohim. Neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. That is a commandment. Straight up. It's not a suggestion. And when we don't look to try to fill this commandment, then we walk in transgression of the law. Because this is a commandment. It's part of the law. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and be ye turned and ye turn aside and serve other Elohim and worship them. Make sure that your heart be not deceived. Okay. We have to study to show ourselves approved. As I will say, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. I can only teach what the Most High has taught me. But each and every one of us is responsible for our own salvation. And you have to make sure that you're not serving any other Elohim. You have to make sure that you're serving the true and living Elohim, the true and living English God or God. Okay? It's your responsibility. So if he says, don't let their names be in your mouth, don't be turned aside and serve other Elohims and worship them, then you have to find out, well, wait a minute, how do I know if I'm serving any other Elohim, if I'm serving any other God? How do I know that? I'm serving, in my heart, I'm thinking I'm serving the creator of the universe, but calling him by some other God's name. I'm worshiping him on pagan holidays, like Easter or Christmas or Halloween or any of these other days, Thanksgiving. You know, it took me a minute to find out that Thanksgiving actually had a deity behind it. And so we're doing things and worshiping other deities and say we're worshiping him, calling him by some other deity's name, worshiping him in the way that those deities or those people who created those deities said that you should worship them. See, many of us don't know that the tradition of you getting new clothes for Sunday, for Easter Sunday, in your Easter basket, that those were all traditions to serve the goddess Esther. The young women would get new dresses, but what they don't tell you is that they had sex in the temple, not in the sanctuary of our God, but in the sanctuary of those people who worship that deity. They would get, the girls would get new dresses, and then they would go have sex, but in their temple. And that those eggs represented fertility. And the bunny rabbit represented, you know, the proclivity of having a high sex drive, being able to reproduce rapidly, because rabbits reproduce fast. And then say, oh, but we're tying this to the Most High Elohim. We're tying it to Messiah. He said, don't do that. So we, even in that form, we'll learn that, oh, wait a minute, that's a pagan holiday. I can't do that. But we never consider his name. Am I calling my Elohim by his name, or am I calling him by the name of another deity? And thinking I'm talking to him. And thinking that he accepts it. When he said, don't even let it be in your mouth. Genesis chapter 17, the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Because this is what the Most High expects of us. And the first thing we'll say is we can't do it. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old, Yah appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I'm a human being. We can't be perfect. We always messing up. The Most High didn't tell Abraham or Abram to be perfect because he couldn't be perfect. He's not telling you that you can't be to be perfect because you can't be perfect. You got to bring every thought into subjection. When you think to do wickedness and you know it's wickedness, you got to bring that into subjection. Instead of yielding to it, I couldn't help myself. I don't know what made me do it. The devil is a liar. You knew exactly why you did because you wanted to do it. It's just that simple. So when we willfully sin of our own, it's because we wanted to do it. It was in us to do it, and we did it. And then we tried to justify it. And then when we knew we were wrong, oh, forgive me. That's not who you're dealing with. That's not the Elohim you're dealing with. That's the Elohim the world has talked to you about. That's the Elohim, the false deity that they have you calling on. Won't even teach you to call upon the name of the pure and living Elohim. And we truly are like sheep. We just follow. That's how we know. You're sheep, you just follow. Follow the sheep, love to, they find protection in bunches. Okay, and that's their protection mechanism. A sheep have no natural defense. And whatever voice they choose to follow, that's what they will do. They will follow that voice. That's why Messiah said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. But who is your shepherd? And who have you been following? Whose voice have you been hearing? Let's continue. I won't go down that road today. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. We're going to get verse 2. Because I often ask people, if they're reading the English version of the scriptures, then why don't they use this name? Now, as we've gone through our word study, we know that there is no J sound in Hebrew. There is no J sound in Greek. There was no J sound. The J sound actually originated with the Y sound. It was not until it was started being used in the English that it became J with the J sound. But even in the Greek, the Hebrew, the Latin, German, mostly all of the races, until it came to the English, this J was pronounced Jah. I mean, yeah, not Jah, yeah. Okay? But even if you are unconvinced and you're reading from the English, why didn't we use this name? And Elohim spake unto Moses, verse 2, and said unto him, I am Yah, said the Lord, I am Yah, and I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of Elohim Almighty. But by my name, in your English, Jehovah, was I not known to them. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Why is it that people can't even go into the scripture and say, you know what? He said, my name is, in the English, Jehovah. Everywhere where you see the name Lord, I am Jehovah. And put his name there that is written in Torah. And why they chose to not translate this as Lord, your guess is as good as mine. I can't find the reason, the rationale. Maybe the Most High wouldn't allow them to. That we should have, as a people, when he says, don't have any other name of any other God in our mouth, any other Elohim in our mouth. And he says right here, my name is Jehovah. Why weren't we using that? Oh, wait a minute. We had a thing against the Jehovah Witness. That's right. That's what's in the scripture. Okay. Was I not known to them? By my name. But somehow, the Lord seemed more appealing to us. Maybe because we saw it 7,000 times more than we saw Jehovah. Maybe that was it. The Lord is in here 7,000 times. We see Jehovah, I think it's 3 or 4 times in the English version of the Bible. And then we have the name of Jah. With which are Rastafarian brothers, but when you actually look it up, it says that it's pronounced Yah. Yehovah. Was I not known to them? If you say Yahweh, any of the reiterations of his name is better than Lord. Let's continue. I am that I am. When you look up this word am, that word has only existed since 1936. The word am, it didn't exist in our language. So how they translate it into the Bible is beyond me. So when I look up that word am that they translate it to, it actually means be, B-E, be. I guess they didn't want to read I be that I be. Or it sounds better, I am that I am. But that word am, I'm just telling you, go do a word search on it in a study, you find out that am did not even exist in the English language until 1936. When I look up that word be, the definition of it is to exist. It means exist. And so when you look up the Hebrew word, as I said, for I am, Haya, and that's the Hebrew word for it, where they have I am, that I am, in the Hebrew it's Haya, Bashem Haya. But that is not even there. It actually just says Haya, Haya. Okay? But when you look up the definitions for Haya, H-A-Y-A-W, the word means exist. I exist that I exist, he said. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. The book of Exodus. Chapter 3, we're starting verse 13. And Moses said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto Moses, in your English, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, I am, in the Hebrew, is Haya, Haya. So in that am is his name, which means exist. When we continue to read, understand that wherever you see, again, the Lord, understand that his name was there, not the Lord. I'm going to use within the English right now, even though, you know, I use the name of Yah, and I've explained that to you before. Why? But I'm going to use within the English and read it into this translation. And Elohim moreover said unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Yah Elohim of your fathers. Now, I said I was going to use the English. Jehovah, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. I am is not his name. It's a statement about him. It has his name in it. Haya, ya, aya. But he tells him down here. He uses his name in the verse. And Elohim moreover said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord. He didn't use that. Remember, they replaced that. He used his name. Now, we just read previously, they said, by my name, Jehovah. They did not know me. So I just replaced it with Jehovah. Jehovah, God of your fathers, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. So to me, just me, everybody that's reading the Bible, if they're reading out of the English, they should be putting, they should put back the name of the Most High there. Whatever name you're convinced of, Lord is not a name. But he told you that your forefathers knew him by the Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Then also we got his name being the Lord. We got his name being anything but what is written already. You see how the prophets caused us to forget his name? You see how the translators caused us to forget his name? Now we know, and if you do a word study on Jehovah, they will tell you that it was probably pronounced Yahweh, Yahweh, with a Y, if you ever go look it up. But even if you're going to stay with the English and you're going to go with the J sound, then you ought to be calling on Jehovah. That is what's written in your word. And if you, I don't know if your Bible has it, but if you read the preface of your Bible, they'll tell you, hey, everywhere that the tetragrammaton of his name, YHWH, was in the book, we replaced it with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. We replaced the YHWH, the tetragrammaton of his name, 7,000 times. Call me by my name. Call on my name. Don't have the name of any other God in your mouth. Can we hear him? Let's continue. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yah, Elohim of your fathers, because Moses would have repeated his name. And what he said, tell them, I am has sent you. Then in the next verse, he tells them, this is my name forever. So why, now we have to ask ourselves, if they didn't translate the word Lord in verse 15, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, why did they not put I am there? Just asking you to consider. I am Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob has sent me unto you. But I am does not translate into YHWH. I am, where they translated the Lord, doesn't translate into I am. So he's making a statement in verse 14, and then he tells him the name in verse 15. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial. Go gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, in the English, Jehovah, Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. The existent one. I exist that I exist. In the Young Literal Translation, it will read, I am that which I am. We don't even have the which in the KJV. But in the Young Literal Translation, it will say, I am that which I am. It's it's a declaration. But when we put the word Lord in there and we don't put his name in there, then we miss the name. And we misunderstand verse 14. Let's continue. But in the Hebrew, and I challenge you to do this yourself, don't believe Brother Miles. Look up I am in your Strong's Concordance, and you will see the name of the Most High in there. Hayah, Yah. And he tells us in Psalm 68, I believe, in 4, gives us a short version of his name, Jah, which would be pronounced Yah. Let's continue. Isaiah 42:8. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42:8. Now, I'm going to show you where people get this from because they don't do their homework. And they don't go back and undo what the translators did, what the prophets did. Isaiah 42:8. I'm going to read it literally what it says. And you can see why people believe what they believe. I am the Lord. That is my name. Wait a minute. I thought you said your name was Jehovah. See the corruption here? See what they have done to us? In my glory will I not give to another, neither praise to graven images. So as a minimum, if you stand in Torah and you stand with it and you say, I am Jehovah, that is my name. That's what he already told you. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I have met people and they told me the name of God is the Lord. I said, what boat did you just get off of? I said, you're reading that verse and you're reading it without understanding and without context. And you have not studied. You have read, but you have not studied. And you have not gone before the Most High and even asked. Because they read this verse. So I'm saying to you, my brother and my sister, call the Most High by any other name of any other God. Seek for yourself what name you ought to be using. Go before him and ask. I am Yah. That's the name I'm convinced of. And I'll show you later why. I am Yah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. He wants us to call on his name. This is my name forever. As I said, if you stick with your English translation, and the English is, besides this letter J, as far as context, as far as trying to translate a concept, a Hebrew concept into English or into another language, I'm not a linguist, okay? But I have talked to many who have their doctorates in, to say, Hebrew, and who are scholars, and they will tell you that, yeah, the KJV is probably the closest translation to the Hebrew, with this exception of this letter J, okay? If we look up the word Baal in the dictionary, or Wikipedia, whatever you want to look at. Baal has several different meanings. Baal is a Hebrew word meaning Lord or Master. Baal may also refer to deity, a Christian demon, loosely identified with a Canaanite god. Baal Peor, a Canaanite deity. Bel Pegor. And I don't want you to repeat these. This is just for your learning. So you understand that this word is associated with other deities, because after this, you're not going to hear me saying it. Lord of death, a demon in Christian demonology. Baal Berith, El Berith, gods of the Canaanite city. Beelzebub, which we read in the Bible, Lord of the man. They accuse Christ, Messiah, Mashiach. They accused him of being from Beelzebub, okay? Lord of the manor. Beelzebub, Lord of the heavenly dweller. Or Lord of the flock, identified with the devil. Hadad, a Canaanite deity commonly known as Baal or Baal-lu. Just to name a few, this name is associated with other deities. And we should not be using it. It's also associated with licentious. Licentious. Promiscuous. Unprincipled in sexual matters. That's what this name is associated with. Lord, this title. Let's go to, let's talk about another deity that our forefathers associated with the Most High. Asherah. A star. A principal female deity of the Phoenicians called Ishtar by the Assyrians and Ashtar by the Greeks and Romans. She was by some ancient writers identified with the moon. But on the other hand, the Assyrians, Ishtar was not the moon goddess, but the planet Venus. And Ishtar was by many identified with the goddess Venus or Aphrodite, as well with the planet of that name. It is certain that the worship of Ishtar became identified with that of Venus, and that this worship was connected with the most impure rites is apparent from the close connection of this goddess with Asherah. Go to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 11. And let's get verse 5. First Kings chapter 11, verse 5. Let me put on my glasses. Okay. First Kings chapter 11. Verse 5. For Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of Zidon, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Now, Solomon was supposed to be one of the wisest men in the world. But he followed after his wives. And he put altars even in the Most High temple. Now, it's hard to believe that Solomon would do this, even in the Most High temple to other deities. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 33. Drop down to verse 33. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. Verse 33. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Asherah, the goddess of the Zidians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my way to do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David, his father. So Solomon caused the people to worship false gods. When we look at the northern kingdom, Israel, with the capital of Samaria, we find that when the Most High, the king of Assyria, what he did was transplant our people. He transplanted them into his land. And then he moved some people into the northern kingdom from other nations. Let's go to, let me find this, I believe it's 1 Kings. I believe it's 1 Kings 18. No, let's go to Second Chronicles chapter 30. Let me do it from there. Second Chronicles chapter 30. And I want us to read this to understand. And so let me lay a little bit of background to this before we read this. The northern kingdom, Israel. Remember, the Most High said he was going to rent the kingdom from Solomon. But he took it from Solomon's son because of what Solomon had done. And at this time, we have two nations, or we would have had two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. The capital of Israel was Samaria. The capital of Judah was Jerusalem. So when we read and we hear Samaria, and we read that Samaritan woman, somehow we get this picture of some other nation, some other people. But Samaria was simply the capital of Israel. And when the Assyrian king took it over, he renamed the region Samaria. So we got to understand the history, okay? So when we read in the New Testament that woman of Samaria, that's not actually really another country. That is the northern kingdom renamed by the king of Assyria after the capital of the northern kingdom. So it'll be like, that would be like somebody coming in to the state of Kansas and renaming the state Wichita or Topeka after the capital. So rather than be known as Kansas anymore, it's known as Topeka. I hope that makes sense to everybody. So this is where we are at. The king of Assyria has come into, he has conquered Israel, the northern kingdom. He has moved the people out, but some escaped. Some got away. He didn't get everybody. Now let's read this account. And Hezekiah sent to all of Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yah at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Yah, Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover the second month. You keep the Passover the second month when you miss the first one. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yah Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So to sort of recap what we just read, he's sending out a letter because they haven't been keeping the Passover. And the people from the northern kingdom, because Jeroboam, who the Most High had given the northern kingdom to, because he was afraid that if the people went to Jerusalem, they wouldn't come back. So he didn't let anybody from the northern kingdom go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. What did he do? He created two false altars in the northern kingdom, one in Dan, and I forget where he put the other one, probably right there in Samaria. But I have to find that out. Don't take that one as a gospel. I know the one in Dan is the gospel. But he created two altars for the people to sacrifice to the Most High. And he created his own priesthood. So the northern kingdom hadn't come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover because of the fear of the king Jeroboam. Hey, they'll go to Jerusalem and they won't come back. This is where we're at in this region. So he had established a decree for them to come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Now, who is he inviting? Because we hear, you're going to hear Israel and Judah and Manasseh, but let's see who he's actually inviting. Verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel and from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yah Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. Now, you may think Israel still exists as a nation, but we're going to read who this is. And according to the commandments of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto Yah Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you. Who is this remnant? That are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. Everybody else had already been taken. This is a remnant that escaped, and he's calling them Israel. And that's why we got to understand that word cut off. Because when the Most High had them taken out, they were cut off. Now he was going to bring them back. Bring back the ones that had been cut off. If the remnant had actually run. Let's read this. And we're going here for a week. It's not like that. Okay. Verse 6 again. So the post went out to the with letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto Yah Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which transgressed against Yah Elohim of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Yah, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Yah your Elohim with the fierceness of his wrath, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto Yah, your brethren, and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so they shall come again into the land, into this land. For Yah your Elohim is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. They have been worshiping these false deities, these golden calves that Jeroboam had brought into the northern kingdom. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But what did they do? But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, diverse or different ones of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And Judah and the hand of Elohim, also in Judah, the hand of Elohim was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Yah. Now, what I want you to pick out of here is the remnant, those that escaped out of the hands of the king of the Assyrians. They are now known as Israel. And King Hezekiah wrote them a letter and said, hey, if you guys come to the Passover in Jerusalem and keep it, Yah will return all of the people that he took into Assyria, that he scattered. And since they mocked him, And we know for a fact the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom never came back. They were scattered. They were no more longer Israel. Because they got scattered for worshiping these false gods. They got scattered for calling on the name of the Most High, for calling on the other gods as though they were the Most High. He says, but I will be merciful to them. I will bring them back if you just come to the pastor. And they mocked them. So our brothers, you know, we got brothers telling all kind of stories about the lost 10 tribes. There's no such thing as lost 10 tribes. They were no longer Israel. And the remnant that escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria, they are now considered Israel. If we go on to read in chapter 31, we find out that that remnant stayed in the northern kingdom called Samaria. And they continued to worship other gods. That's what we will find out. And then if we go to, I believe it's 1 Kings, chapter 18 and 19. Yeah, 1 Kings 18 and 19. Then you would find out that the people that were transferred into the land, that the king of Assyria, he actually put them in the land in place of Israel, those that he had taken. They came, they had their own God that they worshiped. And the Most High sent lions in amongst them to attack them. So they said to the king of Assyria, said, hey, the God, we don't know how to worship the God of this land. He's sending lions in here to attack us. So the king of Assyria sent one of the false priests, one of the priests that Jeroboam made. He said, go back and teach them to fear. Go back and teach them about the God of the land, the Elohim of the land. And so this wasn't a Levitical priest. This was one of the poor people that Jeroboam had made priest of his high places. They came back and taught him about the Most High, to fear him. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. The book of 1 Kings. Chapter 18, we're going to get verses 19 through 21. That's not what I want. I don't want that yet. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 16. Okay. Let's get verses 31 through 33. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidon, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab had a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke Yah, Elohim of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So we have this altar of Baal in Samaria, altar of the Lord in Samaria. And they are worshiping this Canaanite deity. And Ahab married the high priest, the high priestess of this order. It was her order, Jezebel. She was the priestess, the high priestess of the god Baal. Now, the northern kingdom is worshiping this god. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18 now. And we're going to get verses 19 and 21. 19 through 21. So this is what the Most High has his priest to do. Now, therefore, send and gather to meet all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be torn between two opinions? If Yah be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, the Lord, be Elohim, then follow him. For the people answered him, not a word. So this has always been a problem. This is why when they translated the scriptures into English and they chose to use the word Lord, which is in the Hebrew Baal, kind of it confused me. I'm like, why would you do this? That is deception, because this is the very one that the Most High says in the Bible. He says he hates. I hate Baal. I hate the Lord. But then they named him the Lord. They gave him the title the Lord. And that's, to me, that is like so wicked and so deceptive, because now you got a whole 1,000 years of people addressing the Most High by the name of some Canaanite God. Oh, it's just a title. Not in the Hebrew, it's not. It is the name of a deity. Translated into our language, Lord. And that for me was wicked beyond compare. How are you going to have us worshiping and calling on the name of the Most High? We just call on his name, and you have given it. You said it's a title. But directly from our language, it translates to Baal. And so we're calling on the Lord. In English, we translate it into the Hebrew, we're calling on Baal. Is that not wickedness? Is that not crazy? Is that not deception? Because we changed the language. We changed the language, and all of a sudden, we don't understand that we're calling on our Elohim by the name of another Elohim. Because in our language, that's not the name of that God. But in the Hebrew language, in the English, that's not the name of that God. But in the Hebrew language, it is the name of that God. Is that not wickedness? Is that not deception? And all because our forefathers start saying that the name of the Most High was too holy to pronounce. When he said over 7,000 times, this is my name. This is my name. This is my name. I want to go one more place. And bear with me a hot second. Because this may be in 2 Kings and I didn't capture it the way I wanted to. Give me a hot second. Bear with me.
Where is this at? I want to show you what the people did because I believe people are still doing this today, maybe unaware of it. Not interesting. Yes, in 2 Kings chapter 17. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read this and then we will call it a day for this morning. The book of 2 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of God, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no presents to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Haber, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. Now, this is where you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 at this point. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Yah Elohim, their Elohim, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other Elohim, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, and whom Yah had cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right before Yah, their Elohim, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the towers of the watchmen to the fenced cities. And they sent them up images and groves in every high hill under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom Yah carried away before them, and brought and worked wicked things to provoke Yah to anger. For they served idols, whereof Yah had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet Yah testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in Yah their Elohim. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant they made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathens that were round about them, concerning whom Yah had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of Yah their Elohim and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantment and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yah, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, Yah was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Now, we read this, and a lot of brothers read this, but they don't go get the rest of the history, which we read out of Chronicles chapter 30. Okay? Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Yah their Elohim, but walked in the statutes of Israel that they made. So the southern kingdom is doing the same thing that the northern kingdom did. And Yah rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David. And they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following Yah and made them to sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, they departed not from them, until Yah removed Israel from his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophet. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Now, there was a remnant that survived of the northern kingdom. And we read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We read that earlier. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, from Cutta, from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sabarhan, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not Yah. Therefore Yah sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the Elohim of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them. Behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the Elohim of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there. None of the Levites went into captivity. They were in Judah. They were left to King David or to Solomon's son. And let them go. Well, they weren't even left to him. The Levites belonged to the Most High. Remember, they were not taken. They were left in Jerusalem. But they were not accounted to the tribe of Judah. So this priesthood is not one of them. This is one of the priesthood that Jeroboam made. Carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the Elohim of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came, dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear Yah. Now this priesthood knew of Yah, but they weren't serving Yah. Howbeit, every nation made gods, made Elohims of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans, who are the Samaritans, those are your forefathers, had made. Every nation in their city wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth Benot, and the men of Cut made Nargel, and the men of Hamath made Ashemah, and the Havites made Niphaz, and the Tartites, and the Sabardites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Adrammelech, the gods of the Sabardites. So they feared God, and made unto themselves the lowest of them priests of the high place. This is what the same thing that Jeroboam did. Jeroboam took the poor of the northern kingdom because the Levites didn't go there, and he made them priests of the high place. This priest came back and taught them the exact same thing. Take the lowest of you and make them priests of the high place, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high place. They feared Yah and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from there. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Elohim, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law of commandments, which Yah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom Yah had made covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not other gods, nor bow yourselves down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. For Yah, who has brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear and him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinance and the law and the commandments which he wrote unto for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. You shall not fear other Elohim. And the covenant that I've made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other Elohim. But Yah, your Elohim, you shall fear. He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not listen, but they did after the former manner. So these nations feared Yah and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they to this day. When they pass it along to us, and they translated the scripture, and they chose to use the word, the title, Lord, and make it as a name for the Most High Elohim, which was the name of a Canaanite deity. If you look up the word Baal, it actually translates to Lord. In the English. So when we translate to Lord in the English, if we take it back to the Hebrew, it translates to Baal. We are calling on the name of another deity. The Most High said don't even have their names in our mouth. And only for this lesson do I really bother to read it, because I don't want to be in transgression. But you have to know what you have been made to unwittingly do. You fear in the Most High, but you call him by the name of another deity. And instead of finding out what his name is, you'd rather stay with what you are comfortable with. So I say to you, if the name of our Elohim translates to Baal, because that's the name that they put into the book, and he says, my name is not Baal, then you have to wonder, you have to look at yourself, inside yourself, and say, hey, do I really want to do this? The prophets caused us to go astray. The Most High says, call on my name. I gave it to you over 7,000 times. And the name that is in the scripture, Jehovah, if you understand translation, if you understand that letter J, only when it came into the English, had the sound of a J, then you would at least call on Jehovah, because that's what's written in your book. If you seek out the Most High, you ask him what his name is. As he told me, you've been saying my name all along. You said, hallelujah, 10,000 praises to Yah. This is what is in Psalm 68. He that rides upon the high places, call his name, just go get that. Psalm 68 and 4, I believe. The book of Psalms. Chapter 68. Oh my God, I keep taking off my glasses as though I don't need them. Psalm 68 and 4. Sing unto Elohim. Sing praises unto his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name. In your Bible, Jah. And rejoice before him. But the proper pronunciation of that name is with the Y sound. The J started off with the Y sound and did not change until it starts to be used in the English. Call upon his name, Yah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to Yah. That's the short version of his name. This is the one that the Most High has convinced me that I ought to use. If you're not convinced of that, then call him Jehovah. Call him Jehovah. Call him Yahweh. Just don't call him Lord. That being said, I pray somebody understands that we were tricked and deceived into calling the Most High by another deity's name. And, you know, it wasn't ever explained to us. If we look up the word Lord in the English, it will say master. But if we translate that word directly where it came from out of the Hebrew, it translates to Baal. The Canaanite deity that the Most High accused our forefathers of worshiping. The enemy is wicked. And why Yah allowed this, I don't know. Maybe he wants us to truly seek him out. You shall find me when you seek after me with your whole heart. He wants those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, this is, like I said, for me, when the Most High showed me this, it was absolutely, it's like a spiritual warfare. Let me get you to call on my God's name. And it was deception. And he has the whole English-speaking world calling on the name of another deity and saying that they worship in the Most High, saying that they fear him. So I pray that this has helped someone today. I pray that you understand that you really do need to study and anything that is written in the English, you really have to filter it back through the Hebrew and the Greek that it came from. Because the English itself if you allow it, can lead you astray. If the Most High puts it on your heart to dig deeper, you ought to dig deeper. I pray that we can hear this today. I pray we accept it. I pray that we do better. You wouldn't want your spouse, the one you married to or was married to, you wouldn't want them addressing you by the name of another person. And somehow we think that it's okay with the Most High that we address them by the name of another so-called deity, even though we know it's made up. When he has told us, don't call him by the name of another deity and don't have another deity's name in your mouth. So the enemy, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably one of his greatest victories. I can trick them into calling you by the name of some other deity. And they will gladly do it. Especially if they're coming up out of their childhood, from a child, this is what they've been taught. So we have been deceived. The Most High said the prophets, the false prophets, caused this. They ran, they said, thus saith Yah, thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah, thus saith the Most High Elohim. And he didn't send them. And any true prophet, any righteous man in his right mind, soon as you realize that this is what they did, you can't conform to it. And they should have come against this. That's why I said, the ones that told them to do this, we got to know that they were not the chosen people of the Most High. In the 1700s, who was known as the Jews? They really had no understanding of what they were doing and what they were saying. They wouldn't even have wanted to be called Jews if they understood that that name was like saying nigger. Yehuda, they would have known the true pronunciation of their name, and Jew was a derogatory, if we understand what has gone on. And they said, it is, the name of the Most High is too holy to pronounce, because they couldn't pronounce. He didn't reveal it to them. So when the translators of the Bible came to them saying that they were the Jews, oh, you can't pronounce that name. It's too holy. So he's going to replace it with this. I just find it strange. It had to be deliberate because they weren't the people of the book. Oh, you can replace, it's okay to replace that with Lord. We know from the Hebrew, I don't think they even knew. They're from the Hebrew, Baal translates to Lord. So, yeah, you can call him Lord in the English and say that it's the Most High Elohim. That is wickedness. That is deception at the highest level. And now you have the world following after a Canaanite deity, claiming to be the Most High Elohim. So I pray, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, I don't know. You have not told why you allow them to do this to your word. Father, I don't know whose all eyes that you have opened to this. But Father, we just want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, the fact that they replaced your name in the scriptures for the name of another deity, it is wickedness. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to see their deception and how they have caused us to forget your name. Father, forgive us. For truly, we were doing this thing in ignorance. We did not know. And Father, it was so ingrained in us and still is, because this is what we were taught as children. This is what we were taught who you are. But Father, we don't want to walk in transgression. We don't want to have the name of another deity in our mouth, and we surely do not want to address you by that deity's name. So, Father, forgive us. Forgive us our transgression. Forgive our ignorance. Forgive us that we would call on the one and only true Elohim by a false name. Father, we want to be in a relationship with you in spirit and in truth. And sometimes, Father, you know that it's hard because we have been in deception for so long. And even when we hear truth, sometimes it is just hard to accept it. But I pray that you break up that fallow ground in the hearts of your believers, in the hearts of your hearers, in the hearts of your people, that we might call you by your true name. Harden not the hearts of your people, Father. To make them malleable, that you might mold them in your hand. Father, we seek to be at peace with you. We seek to be pleasing to you. Father, we pray. We ask and we beg and we plead with you that you hold not this against us. For we know not what we would do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On this evening, don't know what the precept's going to be yet, just like I didn't know this morning. I really do pray that this has helped someone. They understand that your name in another language is still your name. If they call you Mary in the English and they call you Miriam in the Hebrew, it's still your name. When they cause us to call you by the name of Baal, Baal in the Hebrew is Baal. Baal in the English is Lord. When they cause us to call you by another God's name, they so deceive us, Father. And the world has fallen for it. So on this evening, wow. On this evening, I don't know what the Father's going to give me, but he will give it to me. I will put it out as soon as I have it. I pray that each and every one of you seek out the Most High for yourself and ask him for yourself. Either confirm it, or let him tell you, but just realize a lot of people have that weren't sent, they just went. They weren't called by the Most High. They just ran and said, thus saith the Most High, thus saith the Lord. Now you know they're saying, thus saith Baal. Everywhere where you have in your Bible, the Lord, all capitalized, or Lord with a capital L, so that you can get in the habit of it, you should write in the name that you're convinced of. If that's Jehovah, if it's Jehovah, if it's Yahweh, if it's Yah, if it's Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, just don't call him by the name of all. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High Elohim Yah loves you way more. Shalom, family.
Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth. Sometimes all I want to do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? Live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his word, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? Live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his word, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahoo, who are you? Live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth.